Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Although you see no water for miles around, you are, like us, marooned. You're stranded in this sad and lonely place called Barovia. To mix metaphors, we are incarcerated. The fog that surrounds us are the bars of our dungeon, and Baron von Strahd is our jailer. As far as I can tell, there is only one way out, and that is to kill Devil Strahd.
As you approach... You're getting a much better view of this gatehouse or whatever it is.
Mm.
You can see on your left, Mount Gacchus goes pretty much almost vertical. You would need climbing equipment to go up. Mm-hmm. And to your right, it goes basically the same, but down.
Okay.
The shelf of rock on which the mountain road clings to grows narrow. Yeah. Ahead of you, through the wind, there's no snow, thankfully, but the wind simply refuses to
still
obey.
Buffets us.
Yeah, all of you are clutching close your clothing, trying to keep any surface of your skin covered. Anything exposed has become red and painful to the touch. You can see that there is a high wall. The gate is made of a black stone lined with spikes, and up atop on the very where the battlements would be, you can see that there were once statues of dragons.
Okay.
No longer. The statues have been pushed over. You can see they're on the floor in front of the gate now, smashed, riddled to a dozen pieces.
Mm-hmm.
In their stead are these weird, demonic, awful-looking monsters. All of them are different. There are no two alike.
Uh-huh.
They look like they were carved to be intimidating and or ugly.
Okay.
In the center of the wall is a closed iron portcullis. You know what a portcullis is?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right.
Oh, brother, do I.
Behind which is a curtain of green flame. Standing in front of the portcullis, you see two people in armor.
Do they just look human?
Yeah. Regular folk?
Humanoid? From this distance, all you can make out is that their armor does not cover where their mouths and chins are.
Uh-huh.
It's a helm that kind of goes down to the nose, but... apart from that, you can't really make anything. You're still quite a ways away.
I think while we're on this precarious walk, I'm going to put Pop in my backpack.
Sure.
Which I know is dangerous, but...
Oh, yeah. Hector, before you continue your approach, you spot a large rock next to the pathway, which is tumbled down from somewhere up way higher.
Mm-hmm.
Carved into the rock, you can see a constellation, which you recognize as being one very prominent on Orion's flank. It would be probably the Horse and Rider, which is a famous constellation in Ognon.
Okay, and so it's carved onto the rock.
Yes.
Orion? Is it coming towards us?
It's a rock.
I don't know if it was like maybe tumbling.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's already tumbled.
Okay.
That would be so funny. No, sorry. All right. I see where the problem is.
The goat is flinging shit at us, okay?
No. So there is a rock has already tumbled. It fell from high above. It is now on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
You can see carved into the rock is a very prominent constellation from Ognot. It would be called the Rider and Horse.
Gotcha.
It was very prominent on Orion's flank.
Would I think that this would be a message from...
Barovia doesn't have Barovia doesn't have stars, let alone constellations.
So I would assume this would be probably a message from Piran or Esmeralda.
It's very possible.
Okay. And are we close to that rock? No, we're not.
Yeah, you're walking past it as this happens.
Wait, hang on. Turn to investigate the rock.
All right. It's... a large boulder about the size of like a family dog. Does that make sense? A medium-sized dog.
Uh-huh.
Like a golden retriever.
Okay.
What's so special about this rock?
You recognize the constellation. Oh, actually, do you? No, you see a constellation, but you don't recognize it.
This is a constellation. It's not... native.
To be fair, once again, this is the first time you've seen stars.
Yeah, so. I haven't seen stars in a long time.
It was on, I guess, Orion's.
Which one is it?
It's the rider and the.
The horse and rider.
Yes.
Yeah.
Horse and rider.
Sort of remember it.
and look around the rock? Is that, can the rock be moved?
The rock can be moved, sure enough, yeah.
Can I just want to like...
It's not without some effort, but you do pick it up and look underneath the rock. You can see more has been carved into the bottom part of the rock. P27 and P82.
I flip out a manual and go to those pages just to check if they're trying to give me advice.
So both of those pages are, one of them would be rock creature and the other one would be cultist.
Okay, I already have, I think as you like, well, what's this rock? I'm eyeballing the creatures on top of the battlement. So I already have the thing open to rock creature.
Sure.
One step ahead of you, Piran. but nice to have that confirmed. I turn around. Does anybody have scissors?
Tarpos, of all people, running around in her backpack, produces a pair of metal and stone scissors.
Excellent. Now, writing on these is going to be the hard
The metal part is the handle, the stone part is the blades.
Oh, I see. I could kind of imagine that. Okay. How do you make it? Well, I'm going to figure this out. You keep investigating the rock.
What do we, all right. I'm assuming it was just the P27, yeah, P28.
You figuratively and literally turn the rock over and produce nothing else of interest.
I think they were just probably Esmeralda telling you.
Yes.
So what do we need to do?
Well, rock creatures, i.e. gargoyles, well, presumably that's what those monsters on top of the battlements are. Think about rock creatures or gargoyles. Thank God they confirmed that for us, or we'd be looking for fluids. You know, that's always hard to do. But these are creatures from the elemental plane. And the best way to take care of them, to eliminate them, is with a special enchanted scissors to sever their connection to this material plane. But they need to be enchanted with the proper inscription, which is, cut, the fabric of the dimensions, strings of reality shall fade. In draconic. Thank God I know draconic.
Do you need to write it down or can you enchant? What do you need to do?
Well, here's the awesome thing. manual's not clear. Enchanted with the proper inscription is all we have.
I dart my eyes to Lushan and Ogoro.
Well, let's check this first. Tarpos. Do you have any means of enchanting something or inscribing something upon an object before we turn to louder methods?
Magic writing rock.
How's that work?
She rummages around in her backpack again and produces a piece of chalk. It's rather than, you know, you would imagine when you think chalk, you might think of the little sticks that you get in a classroom.
Yeah.
This is like a hunk of chalk
that rolls
with a pointed tip. Chalk for write magic.
Right. Okay. May I?
She hands it to you.
I take the rock and then I'm going to try and inscribe.
You're going to need, that's going to be need to be a dexterity check because it is a lot of text to get on a small space with a thick writing implement.
Mm-hmm.
You goof it.
Fuck.
You fail. You could try again. It's chalk, so it is wipe offable. But when you wipe it off, you see that, sure enough, like with a blackboard, a little bit of chalk remains. You don't know how many chances you have on this.
Do we have any paper or anything? Like, or any fabric or anything like that?
Tarpos, I'll check, but Tarpos definitely doesn't have that.
Oh, to have a needle and thread. I could just sort of...
Does it need to be scissors? Could it be two knives?
It needs to be scissors. I mean, unless you can make scissors.
I mean, what defines scissors? Is it Gorob two Lushan, pieces of...
Yeah.
Gorob Lushan have ink and an ink pen.
Okay.
But that's... Why, do they really not have paper? Oh, they have the spell book. Lushan's spell book.
Okay, I am going to...
Is there any blank pieces of Emmanuel?
Are there any?
Highs or lows?
Highs. I imagine a lot of
it. Time to make some Emmanuel lore, I guess. Highs, did you say?
Yeah.
All right. The first page of Emmanuel de Monster just has a little piece of text that says, this page is left intentionally blank for your convenience.
Awesome. All right. I would like to, with the ink and pen, I'll write it down on like a piece of that paper.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Then I'll tear it out and maybe I'll tear a bit of my like clothes off to make like a ribbon.
Yeah.
And I'll tie the ribbon with the enchanted words on it to the scissors.
That's very clever. I like that. Yeah. I'm going to pay that off. You get a good boy card. So, which reminds me, actually, since last time, we goofed it. We've been busy. There's been a lot of shit on the table.
Yeah.
I don't remember what bad boy cards I have because they got mixed back into the pile.
Yeah.
And I don't think you remember what good boy cards you have.
No, I don't, Adam.
So I don't even remember how many each of us had.
Me neither.
So I'm going to give the two of you... Mm-hmm. You, well, Jackson, you get one free good boy card now for what you just did.
I took two.
And then I will let you both draw as many good boy cards as you want.
Adam, roll.
Oh.
Roll a what?
I don't know.
It's up to you.
Up to you.
A D100 it is. I will let you draw as many good boy cards as you want, but I get as many bad boy cards as you get good.
Oh.
I'm going to roll a D12 for you.
Yeah. Okay. I reckon roll a D12. That could be like,
one. One good boy card for you, Zaman.
You fucked this.
That's fair.
Okay.
And one bad boy card for me.
Do I get to roll?
You may also roll. You could pick, because you just say a number. I don't mind.
Okay.
Roll.
Oh, let's roll. Let's roll.
What do you want to roll? Do you mind?
Yeah, the same thing. Same thing.
Same thing? All right. Nine. Nine good boy cards, buddy.
Oh, I may have regretted this. I may have regretted this. I may regret this.
I like that we were like, oh, we had so much shit on the table.
Yeah.
We lost track of it all. Nine.
Nine good boy cards.
Nine perfect. Bad boy cards.
The perfect amount.
Yeah. Hey. Do you
want to
maybe have a pool?
Yeah.
Just check them together. Whatever. I don't care.
Pool out. We have so many now.
I'm not going to be able to.
This
pay
one is very funny.
This.
Does that rock look familiar? Players become lost. You're on a rail, basically.
Fuck, we got a lot of cards.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay.
Oh, hell yeah, blood and sand.
What's that, dude?
A sandstorm suddenly rolls in. Exposed creatures must make a constitution saving throw each round or take 1 point of slashing damage and be blinded until the storm stops.
Oh my god.
Obviously, a sandstorm would be weird, so I'm going to make it a snowstorm instead, but other than that, everything stays the same. Snowstorm hits Mount Garkus very suddenly.
Mm. Okay.
You're going to... how was that long rest? Both of you take 1 point. I'm going to say not of slashing, of cold damage each turn until you are sheltered.
Okay.
Or the storm stops.
Awesome, dude. I love that, actually.
Okay.
All right,
Okay.
Make your con saving throws. I'll call it a con saving throw of 12.
Okay.
So both of you pass.
Okay. Do you give everyone a plus five? Who's around me?
Okay.
That's what they're saving.
Despite the plus five, Gora, Blush, and take 1 point of cold damage.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, I don't care about them.
I hope they die.
Yeah. They pissed me off this morning.
All right, so what do you do?
Okay.
Awesome.
What is around
us?
That could be, a snowstorm is coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is around us that is basically could be shelter? Is there anything except for what is ahead?
No.
Okay. We're going
to
start scurrying.
You couldn't even
go
back the way you came. You made a lean-to. You didn't have shelter
last night. No, it was, all right. We'll start scurrying. With the scissors, I'll just like put them in my pocket or something. We'll start hurrying toward...
What's it called where there's a type of weather event where it's like a thunderstorm, but it only goes one direction? It's like an aerosol can.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called. I think it's called like a... This is Australian slang.
Yeah.
This word is Australian slang, but it sounds like Darrow. It's not Darrow, but it sounds like Darrow.
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway. Mm. You're making your way as quickly as you can towards the gateway. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that there are five more rolls in your future.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
So you give everyone next to you how close?
I think it's 10 feet.
10 feet?
All right. Okay. That's
plus
good.
Plus five. So I'll roll your five. That's definitely a failure.
Okay.
That'll be a success. You only take 2 points of cold damage.
All right. That's not so bad.
As we're running, I'd be like, that rock monsters, that was page, what was the other page?
The other page was cultists, which Emmanuel, I don't even know why they list cultists, because it doesn't tell you, they're just people, they are cultists, it's a worthless entry. But for rock creatures, I don't think we have any adamantine metals, and that's the only thing that can penetrate their rocky hide. They don't feel necrotic, radiant, poison, exhaustion, or petrification damage, but they are damaged by... the ignoble three. Cold, fire, bludgeoning.
Cold, fire, bludgeoning, right.
The ignoble three.
The ignoble three, yeah.
Okay. As you're sprinting, I assume just going as quickly as you can towards shelter, I'm also going to make you roll to not separate because you have different movement speeds.
Yep.
And if, say, for example, someone with a slower movement speed, or Lush, falls behind, you're probably just not going to notice.
Yep.
All right. Thankfully, you're able to stay together.
Okay, that's good.
And you arrive at that first gatehouse. You can see just past the portcullis and that green curtain of flames.
Yeah.
You can see beyond is a bridge. So you know more than just the sheer cliffside up and the sheer cliffside down. You know this gateway is quite the funnel point.
Yeah.
There is this gateway and the bridge and no other options to cross.
Cool.
When you get close enough, you can see there are banners here.
Mm-hmm.
They would have been large enough to spot as you were getting closer, but then
with the blizzard,
storm
of course.
Kicked in. You can see the banner it's a black background with a very medieval, classic medieval depiction of a dragon. You know how they'll sometimes have
whatever. Mm-hmm.
The dragon is rearing backwards with its wings spread behind it, but it is completely red, and you can see marks and indentations that quite obviously mean that the dragon has no skin, and also the dragon has no head. You can tell it is a dragon only by other features, like its wings, its tail, and understanding of heraldry. Now that you're close enough...
Like a butchered dragon.
Butchery. Now that you're close enough, you can see that exposed part of their mouth and chin.
Yeah.
You can see both of these people, they definitely look like humans.
Yeah.
A lot of their features are hidden by the armor.
Yeah.
But you can see that the exposed part is the skin has been peeled back and away, and you see only muscle and the muscle and sinew that lives beneath.
Okay. They didn't move when the blizzard happened, right?
They both would have stepped a little bit into
where
the portal
was.
Okay, I was wondering about that too. They're not undead, they're just people.
You can see that the cold definitely hits them just like it hits you, and they are taking shelter from it.
Even more if they've got no skin.
As you approach, one of them says, "What is your business?"
Getting out of the cold.
Turn and leave.
Not an option.
You may not come through without business in Kuchery.
Seeing an old friend.
That's a deception check.
Yeah.
Not a lot. Yeah, no, it's a deception
check. The bell. They look at each other and then look at you. They lower their spears. Both of them are wielding spears. Or halberds, actually. That's more appropriate.
Yeah.
They lower their halberds in a manner obviously intending that if you charged them, you would impale yourselves. And the one that you're speaking to says, "No one passes without permission."
From whom?
From whom?
The burgomaster, the sheriff, or the princess.
Well, I guess our business is to go and see the burgomaster, the princess, or the sheriff to get permission to enter.
The guard says nothing. They just continue to level their halberds at you. All of you need to make saving throws. A plus five, you said?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's incredible. Well, all of you continue to pass, but you're still being buffeted by that snow. They're not letting you pass.
Where are they?
In Kuchery.
Can we at least have this conversation out of the wind?
You can see there's not a lot of room to be standing in where the portcullis is.
Yeah.
They're quite obviously worried about you as a security risk, so they shake their heads.
I don't really want to just straight up attack a guard.
Yeah. As ghoulish as they might be.
Could I try to persuade them? To just let us in out of the cold.
Tell you what, I'm going to make this a major skill check.
Mm-hmm.
So I need, they are really opposed to you getting past them. I need five successful skill checks before you accrue three failed skill checks.
Okay.
Now, you can do the same skill check as each other, but you can't do the same skill check twice.
Okay. You need
to justify why you're making this skill check.
Okay, I would like to investigation.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to investigate, like, their appearance, who they are, and what is a, like, you know, perhaps even why they might be flayed, and if there's anything around them, either the heraldry or anything like that, that I can try and look at that and be like, I want to investigate that to be like, that
one
will give
success.
Me. Yes. Okay. That's all
right.
One.
You get like a little bit about who these people are, just looking them over, investigating them, mm-hmm. kind of working within yourself, trying to assess like maybe which one of them is in charge, which one of them is subordinate, that sort of
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll make an insight check to do a similar thing, but I suppose on like a more personal level. I want to be like, which one of these guys is more likely to fold under pressure? Which one of these guys is going to stand stalwart against our aggression or whatever?
That's another success. So nice. You've got two successes, no fail so far.
Okay, okay. I would like to roll a athletics check.
Go on.
Gonna do a flip. Impressive.
I'm trying to size them up to see what kind, I guess, if they
how
were to attack us, who might be perhaps the more stronger one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a success.
Okay. I guess let's make it, just because it's a guarantee and I'm sure I can justify it, let's make it a survival check.
Uh-huh.
I just want to check how, like, safe they are within this building. You know what I mean? Like, were this building to disappear, were we to bring them out into the wind or whatever?
Should a fight happen?
Yeah, should a fight happen. Yeah. How much safer are they going to be than we will? You know,
yeah,
if you know what I mean?
You will do pretty well on this.
Yeah, I got a beefed survival,
plus
baby.
Plus 12. No, that's plenty.
Oh,
that's...
I thought that was a one.
That's a success. So right. You've got four successes, no failures.
Okay.
You're doing
okay.
Pretty well.
Yeah, we're
so,
getting there.
Right. One more success.
Yeah, because it's a check, right? Not
It's a check, yeah.
Okay.
Not a saving throw.
All right. Because like say, persuasion is not really... Like,
I would allow persuasion.
Okay, okay.
I feel like persuasion's probably the most straight up one.
Yeah, I was either thinking persuasion or religion.
Oh, religion. Bold.
I would allow religion as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go with religion, and I want to be, because of the imagery with the cut-off dragon, the mm-hmm. fact that they are also flayed, the fact that there is clearly some kind of connection between what is like an icon and maybe how they are, like their performance, as it were.
Sure.
That's my kind of like, is this a religious thing? And if that is this a ritual of some kind that made them take off their skin?
Just by the hairs of your chinny chin chin, that's one final pass.
Okay.
All right. The two of you size up the situation, mm-hmm. and then after a long moment of thinking, mm-hmm. Hector, you lean in and you say, I wish to meet the flayed god.
All right.
They look at each other and stand back. One of them slams their gauntleted fist into the side of the building, looks up and calls out, open the gates! The portcullis opens and the curtain of green flame behind it is drawn aside and you are allowed to walk out onto the bridge.
Is the green flame warm?
Thank you.
As you approach, no. It gives no warmth, unfortunately.
Okay. As we are walking through, what is the flayed god, Adam? Was that a good guess? Or is
that
do I know about a flayed god?
It was a good guess.
Okay, cool.
You're
cool.
Like just a random fucking dart into the darkness.
Yep.
You're like, maybe it's called the Flayed God, or maybe they call it the Flayed God.
As we're like walking through, I'm giving you like this look. I don't know.
Just a look of
like wide eyes, like, what's that, Hector? What? Who?
I want to give back a look like, just a shrug with my eyes.
Okay. Okay, yeah. My eyes, my brow furrows and we'll step inside. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You walk past. There is immediately to your right a tower of mm-hmm. sorts. It looks to be about maybe 3 or 4 stories tall,
okay.
depending how you count. And there is a door, a closed door in front of it, made out of a heavy wood,
mm-hmm.
heavy enough to keep the weather out. There are no guards immediately past this way. And turning around, the snow is so heavy, you can no longer see the top of the gateway itself,
okay.
so you don't know if anyone's really observing you. But once you pass the gate, you really only see blinding snow ahead of you. You have no idea how long it's going to take you to get to Kuchery.
Is it worth stepping into this tower and just waiting out the storm? I mean, we're in.
We are not going to. Yes, if we can just.
All right, let's barrel into this tower.
You need to kind of force the door. It's not locked, but it is kind of stuck.
Kind of frozen
a bit. Yeah, so you need to give it a good shove, but you are able to force it in. The room beyond, there is a cold hearth, no fire currently lit in it, across from the door. Wind howls down its chimney, and you can see snow is... You don't think you could light a fire right now, because it's wet at this point from what's been happening. There is a stone staircase on a southern wall leading upwards, and then three windows, which none of them have anything blocking. Mm. The wind is getting in through them, but you can still... This is definitely shelter.
Yeah, it's better than being outside.
Being outside,
Is it better to be upstairs and away from the hearth? Like, is the hearth kind of making a funnel that it's like, actually, it'd probably be worth
Very
getting
possibly.
Out of the way of?
You can see as you cross the room, the hearth has dragons. Sorry, there are statuettes of a silver dragon set on the mantle. They are the statues themselves. The statuettes are made out of silver. They look quite obviously like holy relics, important to someone, but they are kind of quite disused at this point. It looks like no one's interacted with
them. Are the dragons also beheaded?
No, these ones are not.
Right.
There is also a above the hearth and part. So imagine on top of the hearth where you would have a little mantle, those little statuettes. Then above the hearth, there is a shield also made out of silver, emblazoned with, it's the exact same picture of a dragon, but it's not flayed. It's a silver dragon and it has its head.
That's concerning.
Yeah.
How big are the silver dragon statuettes?
They're about as long as a forearm, so they're quite large.
Mm. I would like to take one. Silver is useful.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, both. Are
yeah, I'll take
good.
Both. The shield's probably too big.
How big
There's
is the
one
shield?
More thing in the room. Oh. Sorry. a big group of gods. No, there is one more thing in the room. There are, on the northern wall, opposite the staircase, there are a few rotting crates have been stacked.
Okay.
You can see equipment is stored inside of them. One has been cracked open, and you can see there's just some survival equipment, obviously, for the people who live here, has been stored in here.
Can I?
Sorry, the shield.
Look at the shield?
You were pilfering,
I was just curious, looking at the shield. Does it look like this is a place that people live?
Yeah.
Okay. Does it look, how used does it look?
Oh, the shield and the statuettes don't look like they've been touched in years.
Do they look like they are not touched out of reverence or neglect?
Neglect.
Okay. Well, I don't feel bad about taking it. I wouldn't feel bad either way. But
sure. You can add silver dragonette statue to your...
No worries. I'll take both, unless that's going to be too heavy.
They are heavy, but probably not heavier than a lot of other shit you're carrying.
Okay, no worries. I'm gonna grab them.
A lot of other shit you're needlessly carrying, like this Gorb and Lushan fella.
I do have a platinum sensor just hanging around in my backpack.
Yeah.
Probably turf that at some point.
At some point, find like a hearth so we can
forge
melt
these down. Yeah.
So, the shield, is it a ceremonial shield or is it a functioning shield?
You pick it up.
Yep.
You take it off the wall. It requires a little finicking because it's not been moved in so long. The bracket holding it there is rusted closed.
Yeah. And I look at my shitty, half broken, crap family crest that I hate.
Yeah, true.
The shield appears to be entirely made out of silver. You can tell because it's got a different weight to steel. When you put it on, it feels, I would say, lighter. Silver is, I believe, lighter than steel. And you're worried about the structural integrity of it. I mean, it is currently in one piece, which you can't say for your shield, but it is made out of a softer metal.
Maybe as I'm putting the statue some way, I'm like, hey, if it's not cursed or anything, I say take it.
A silver shield.
You could bash a werewolf in the head.
I think it is made from silver. I guess you could use it as a...
And then if it gets damaged or destroyed, we just melt it down and, silver other stuff.
Sure.
I am worried that the people who live here we haven't seen yet is all I'm worried about. So these items have been not really looked at, but is there remnants of people who live here?
You can see the floor is dusty, but there are quite obviously footprints in it, going up and down the staircase and in and out of the room and to the crates.
Mm. Yeah, I want to, like, maybe not be wielding the shield, but, like, holding it. Like, I would and look at the... we're in an occupied house.
Right.
And, I think they might still be here. I don't want to take it if we are going to be accused of theft.
Well, I'll go look. I'll go upstairs.
All right. Mm. You take the stairs up.
Like, it's just these items that we're grabbing.
Yeah.
They're not exactly subtle.
No, like, they will notice them gone. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, while you do that, I'll probably come with you. Yeah. I was like, go through those
survival crates.
But that's just more thievery.
Yeah, that's just more stealing. But it might be really useful.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Nothing wrong with, you know, if they're the terrifying flayed men, if there are more of them, I don't feel...
I don't know what that... I'll
go look.
A flayed god.
This level is a bit warmer than the one below.
Okay.
There's no fire here, but there's also no windows.
Yeah,
so
okay.
There's just not any cross breeze or anything like that. Inside the room, there are four, depending how you count. There are two to four things.
Okay.
There is a desk with lots of papers and notes piled upon it, an almost comical amount. Like, it looks like the desk should be crumbling underneath the weight of these files and notes.
Mm-hmm.
There is a ladder going up to presumably the roof.
Okay.
Standing next to the ladder is another one of those guards. He appears to be in silent prayer. He is facing away from you as you enter. You can hear him just muttering underneath his breath. And he's quite obviously, he's on his knees with his hands kind of spread out to either side of him, quite obviously praying to some god. And like I said, not paying attention to you. Then finally, there is a cage.
Oh, no.
And a man, a very emaciated, sick-looking man in the cage. He is not just in the cage, but also shackled in the cage. He looks, as you approach, through like a wild, his hair is all matted and scraggly. He's got this big, thick beard that you can see his own blood has stained. He looks at you from inside the cage and tries to mouth words, but just ragged breathing.
I don't feel so bad about stealing from this guy.
Yeah, that is...
okay. I'm going to turn around and head back downstairs. I don't need any of this, dude.
I walk over to the guy in the cage.
He tries to reach his hand through the bars of the cage, but the shackles prevent him from doing so.
Maybe as I go downstairs, I'll say to Garup and Lushan and Tarpos, like, I think Hector's about to... get ready for a fight.
Tarpos looks at you very concerned and does nothing. Gorob draws his sword and yells, "Charge!"
That's not what I meant.
Streams up the steps. Shouldn't have said that.
God damn it.
You are interrupted, Hector, as Gorob gets to the top of the stairs.
Can I grab my spear out? Like wooden, or like the shaft side, and just kind of like block the door?
There's no door, unfortunately.
Oh, I block the entrance of... Like, as in to...
Sure, so that I know what you mean, yeah.
To, like, blind themselves.
Stop to, like, you know, to be like, what are you doing?
Gorob and Lushan... Gorob is an incredible athlete. He handily jumps your spear like a hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
Attack! He brings the sword down onto the praying man.
What are you...
Okay.
He gets a surprise round, and then combat begins.
Well, at least it'll only be this one guy.
Mm. Look, to be honest, he could have gone for the guy in the cage.
Yeah, honestly, we got to count our blessings. And this was inevitable anyway. I think once you tried to free the guy in the cage, we'd have been experiencing this.
I was just going to see why he was
combat
in there.
Combat is quite short. The man dies in one hit. The man's head is caved clear in half as Gorob accidentally uses the flat side, the sharp side, to crumple in and then split this man's head in half.
Ew.
He collapses forwards dead.
What are you doing?
Oh, that was quick.
What are you doing?
Huh?
What? Why did you do that?
I don't know!
Can you please think, both of you, before you do anything?
Okay.
I don't think he's going to do it.
Russian is scratching Gorob's beard.
I look around to see if any, like, just preparing myself for any other guards or something.
So far, all you hear is the howling wind.
I don't think they would have heard us. There's quite a distance between us and the other, you know, battlements or whatever.
Okay. I go to the cage. Right. What are you in here for? What is going? What? Hi. Who are you? I try and, like, as I'm asking, look at the kids. You're Emil. Emil.
Emil.
Emil.
Emil.
He nods. He gestures to the desk where the papers are.
Your house?
No.
Can I might need a glass of water or something.
You need a drink. Are you injured?
Water. He nods.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I probably got a can.
I assume everyone's at the second level. Yeah. Actually, Tarpos takes one look at this man, one look at the dead body, looks at the two of you and says, I look out. And then she walks back down. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right, actually, you look out, Pip. Can you
object to the
stairs?
We'll look out with you, Tarpos! They go down the stairs.
I'll climb did you say it was like a ladder to?
Yeah,
like
there's a ladder to go up to.
I'll climb the ladder and peek out.
It's a 10-foot tall ladder.
Uh-huh.
As you pop your head out the top, you see that there are statues all around you. Once again, there are the remnants, I should say, of statues all around you.
Yeah.
You can see they were once statues of dragons, but they've been broken, knocked away, and instead there are more of those, presumably, gargoyles. You can see four in total.
Okay.
They don't react to you.
Can I see, obviously...
I'm so sorry. There are three gargoyles, and you can see a space where a fourth should have been.
Oh, that's concerning. Obviously, Emmanuel is mum on this object, but can I see their connection to the material plane?
No, you would need to be able to... You would need to detect magic.
I would need to be able to... Yeah. I have detect magic.
Oh, well, you could cast that if you want.
Yeah. It'll be too loud. I'm gonna climb back down. Okay. They don't seem to have noticed us, except maybe one has.
Sure.
But I'll go into my pack and grab a water skin
Sure.
Can they reach through the bars or
no? The shackles prevent their hands from passing through the bars. You would need to reach your hand in.
All right. Put my hand in and.
All right, Pip. You get back down to the bottom of the
ladder. Are you injured? What?
I was just going to say that there's one gargoyle missing from a... There's four gargoyles on the top of this roof. They didn't notice me. And one's missing. But I it's not in here, at least.
Can I, look around? Like, shift my eyes
around?
I don't
think it's in here. Can I get...
There's no
obvious gargoyle. Yeah.
There's the cage. There's the corpse.
Yeah.
There's the desk with papers on it. Emil has begun drinking greedily from the water. Think Emil is about to finish your water skin?
That is fine.
I'll clamber down the ladder.
I go to Pip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe like a hushed whisper, because Zammit remembers something.
Yes.
And I think.
Okay.
And I don't... A Pip?
Yeah.
His name was Emil. Is that... I've heard that name before.
I don't know how long it would have been physically possible for me to hide the name from you, Pip, but I wish I could have done it for longer. Pip, you absolutely would have. You were
This is the other werewolf leader, right?
Yeah, this is the one that was deposed.
Yeah.
The one, I guess, who survived because they weren't around when you went on your little massacre.
That's the other werewolf leader. I don't know what the hell he's doing here.
Right.
The cage is keeping him from escaping, which is good.
You would probably now clock this. The manacles that he is shackled with, they are made of silver.
Oh.
He finishes the water skin and then drops it at his feet and leans back against the cage. He puts his hands over it. He's wearing just threadbare nothing. Even though there's no howling wind here, it's...
He's probably freezing. Yeah.
You can actually... You know what? You've had enough time to observe him.
I'm thinking, why is he not in his different form?
He's very...
I don't know. Well, the silver shackles are probably stopping him from transforming.
He's incredibly... You can see he's incredibly pale. Yeah. He looks... Well, yeah, like I said, malnourished, but he also looks like he's freezing.
How did you get here?
Kirill.
Do I recognize the name?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't think you were paying that much attention. No, the name is not familiar to
me. I just shrug if you look at me. I don't know.
Are they the burgomaster, the sheriff, or the princess?
No, usurper.
The werewolf, perhaps. The werewolf.
Werewolf?
The werewolf who is now in charge of the werewolf.
Emil looks from one of you to the other one and slowly sizing you up. He knows that you know he's a werewolf, so there's not much he can do. That he doesn't bother trying to hide it at all or anything. He just says,
yes.
Yeah. Well,
Kirill overthrew me.
I was given to Strahd.
Too bad.
Mm. Right, and I guess you've just been kept in this cage ever since?
Yes. one of Strahd's brides, Ludmilla, I think, has been experimenting on me.
Why do they keep you so far away from the town?
It is cold
here. Oh, right, of course.
I believe the current experiment is to see how long a werewolf can survive in the cold.
I think you've been here for a while, yes?
Months, maybe.
fuck.
It's another moral quandary that Pip will be of no help with.
No.
Maybe I return to you and I shrug and go downstairs. And it's warmer up here. I'll stay up here.
Is there
a Mrs. Werewolf?
No, is there a Mrs. Werewolf, Mr. Werewolf?
Yeah, do you want to see a picture of him? There is a picture of him in the
book.
I
would love to.
I look. Is there like a key to the to the cage, or what's going on?
Is a big, heavy iron lock mm-hmm. on the cage, and you can see similar, smaller locks keeping his manacles in mm-hmm. place. You see no obvious key anywhere. That's a picture
okay.
of him.
Okay.
He probably, in the picture, he looks significantly more sweaty than he would be. He's quite dehydrated.
If
you wanted to, could turn over the papers on the desk. There's drawers and stuff like that. You could give it a good search if you wanted to.
When was the last time, what was her name? Ludmilla?
Ludmilla.
When was the last time she came?
A few days, I think.
Does she check on you regularly or?
Periodically, yes.
Okay. Okay. I like look at him. Look at the dead guy. Okay. All right.
I mean, you can let him go if you want, Hector, but I mean, I don't know if I want to add to our adversaries.
There's a bride of Strahd that checks on them periodically and say, for example, they come and I gesture to Gorob and Lushan's work. They're that.
We'll just throw it off the bridge.
Yeah, I suppose you can do that.
Do you want me to do that now?
Wasn't there any other... Well, first off, the
snowstorm. Tarpos comes from below.
The storm, that's true.
Tarpos comes from below, and she, awkwardly looking at the two of you, says, guards from both directions come.
Yes.
Yeah.
Weapons. Think they know.
How's the storm, I ask?
Still.
Yeah, cool. Perhaps then an uneasy alliance, I say.
Can you fight?
Emil can't stand in this little cage, but you see he shifts to show you that he can move.
Mm.
And he says, it's been a while since I've stood, but I can do something.
I go to the desk and have a look to see what is there.
I've got bad news.
Okay.
I've got even worse.
Oh no.
You start rooting around, you take up the papers. I'm assuming you're not really paying attention to what the papers or anything like that. That would be a lot longer an investigation.
I would like to, but I figure time is of the essence. So probably not as, unless there is something real fucking like glaringly obvious.
All you'd really, because
it's just going to look for a key.
It's a lot of dense, any of the text is very dense, thick, mechanical sort of workings. So no text is going to stand out to you. You see a lot of pictures, sketches of, it looks like Emil specifically. You see a lot of, he's just been mistreated pretty badly. A lot of it looks like torture of different sorts. You're not sure to exactly what purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But throwing away the papers, nothing of interest appears on the top of the desk, but there are some drawers. The first drawer you open, when you open it, you hear just like a little noise, a little musical sting.
Uh-oh.
And you detect that you have tripped some sort of magical trap.
Uh-oh.
Nothing other than that immediately happens. Pip, you spot an arcane sigil in the center of the room begins to glow. Emil looks at it, looks at you, Pip, and says, "She's coming."
Oh, God damn it. God damn it. Does it look like, it's not like the arcane symbol is going to, like, if there's no need to push Hector out of the way or anything, is there?
Hector is, the desk is positioned in a way where Hector can't even see the sigil.
Okay.
It's in the middle of the room. The desk is up against the wall.
Can we stop it, I ask?
He shrugs.
Okay, I'm going to do a cordon of arrows around the sigil.
All right.
If I have the time.
Yeah, you have the time.
Okay.
Tarpos sticks her head up again and while this is happening and says, not much time. Hector, would you like to continue searching the desk?
How?
You've opened drawer. You've heard the noise. The sigil, presumably in reaction to that, has started glowing.
I guess so. The locks are probably too strong to break, considering they're holding a werewolf.
You're not sure.
That's my assumption. the sigil, I haven't seen it. If I turn around, can I look at it? Or can I see it?
I guess you heard Pip talking, and you heard Emil say she's coming. So you look over. No, you don't spot the sigil. It's just blocked by the desk.
Okay. All right. That's funny. So I was like, what is similar to the bat summoning sigil?
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of like erase it out.
I'm going to say, because there's actually you have a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
You have spent one round now.
So I'll go through the, is there another drawer?
Keep going through the drawers?
Yeah.
All right. You continue to search. You, pulling out the other drawers, there's lots, it's stuffed full. This desk is comically full of things. You are pulling out pens and pencils and all different bibs and bobs. You have not even begun really to search, but all you know so far is that there are no keys immediately visible.
I guess maybe in like a hurried panic, I will call out to Emil. Do you know where the keys were? Sorry, the keys. Is there keys?
You look over at Emil in the cage. He shakes his head slowly. It's been a long time. And Pip, what would you like to do?
I would like to...
You can hear Gorob and Lushan downstairs.
I would like to give... Can I head downstairs and give the scissors to Gorob and Lushan?
Okay.
Because on it, presumably we're going to have to engage with the gargoyles on the roof.
That's going to be two turns in total, moving downstairs and then getting to Gorob Lushan. You don't even know that, actually. You get down to the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah.
You see Gorob Lushan is not standing inside the building. They are standing just outside the building in the doorway. You can see they quite obviously are looking back and forth at the... No, they're looking in both directions. The guards coming towards them from two different angles. Tarpos is just inside the building. She looks over at you as you get to the bottom.
I'll hand the scissors to her.
All right.
Okay, so it's a spiral staircase?
It's... Yeah, it doesn't actually properly spiral. It just hugs the wall, and the wall is circular.
Yep, I'm just thinking in terms of a defensive position, if it is better to funnel them in so that they're coming upstairs, so that we're not fighting in open ground, Gorob Lushan. I know that there's upstairs, yes, there's gargoyles, but at least we have a vantage point if someone with a bow and arrow can perhaps... wail away, but we also have someone coming into the thing. So
we're kind of fucked from both sides here.
Yeah, three sides, really.
Yeah. From both sides and just in the middle. Yeah.
So I'm just thinking, like, what's the best position for this? Okay.
I like to think as well I have a manual out and I'm going through my flow chart for Dracula's.
Okay, cool.
Yep, cool. I'll run over to the guy that was praying.
Uh-huh.
Search him to see if he has keys.
That's not a bad idea.
You find a set of keys.
Hey!
Arcane sigil flares brightly, and we're going to go to initiative.
Uh-oh. Oh, God. Now, here's the question, gang. Using my flowchart for Dracula's. Okay. Does the Dracula live outside?
Maybe.
Yes, except this says no, so this is backwards, which is cool. Does the Dracula live near sea level? No. Does the Dracula live above or below sea level? Well, it lives above. It lives in a mountain, presumably, if this is how Ludmilla works. Turns into a big bird, harmed by old metals, buff arms for hitting. Alternatively, does the Dracula live near sea level? Yes. Does the Dracula live somewhere green? No. Does the Dracula live in a desert? Yes. Does the Dracula stand in sand often? No. Ignore all of them. Chilly places, because that is where we are. Turns into a big tiger, fears fire, but is also immune to it. Those are my two guesses.
So chilly...
Is either a chilly places vampire or a tall places vampire, depending on whether or not the mountain is what is its native
and
environment.
The chilly places vampire, they're scared by fire.
But they are immune to it.
Uh-huh. And the tall one can turn into a tiger, you say?
Can turn into a bird. The chilly one can turn into a tiger.
Well, I guess, look.
Look, either have old metals and fire at the ready, I guess. And we'll see old medals?
Yeah, old medals.
What does old medals mean?
I guess like an old sword, like a rusted sword, maybe? Well, as with everything, Emmanuel, it's frustratingly vague. And also, Ludmilla might be neither of these vampires, because who knows where she is, quote-unquote, from.
Yeah, also, is she even a vampire? Oh, no.
I don't know.
How did it go so wrong so quickly?
We should never have gone into this tower. We should have just let the Blizzard kill us. God damn it.
Standing before you in the conjuring circle is a woman with deep purple robes that have a silvery trim to them. She's gorgeous, but incredibly, incredibly pale. You can see quite prominently there are two gentle bite marks on her neck. An old wound. Mm. She has kind of coppery, curly hair that flows down and frames what might have been once a very kind face, but now has nothing but cruelty inside it. She looks over at you, and standing next to her as well is, imagine one of the guards that you saw before in that armor, except the armor is mismatched. It's not fitting properly. It looks like armor sized for a human, but this creature is so much larger than a human. It's about, how tall are you?
Like six foot something.
Quite tall.
Quite tall, I think.
It's about maybe a foot taller than you.
Oh my God.
And as it looks down at you, you see in place of eyes, just tiny little pinpricks in flesh. Its mouth is longer and distended somewhat than a human's, but you can still see that it's got, like, this thing was once perhaps human. It has fangs, though. Not like a vampire, but like a piranha, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Its hands are long, or its fingers, sorry, are long and sharp, like claws. Well, not like claws, sorry. More like many tiny little daggers. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Okay, little monster boy. Look up, do the little monster paper and have a monster book.
I'm telling you, it's either we attack her with old metal.
What the hell is that thing?
Or fire. That's...
Little monster boy, look at your little monster book.
I don't know if she's in my little monster book.
Ludmilla turns to look at you, Hector, and you can see a smile plays across her face, but there's no, like I said, she has a cruel face.
Yeah.
There's no warmth to the smile.
So she'll assumedly just be seeing me crouching in front of a guard who has been split into holding up a set of keys.
Exandendros.
Uh-oh.
Hector, you need to make a saving throw.
Hey, what?
You feel iron bars wrap, not physical, but psychic iron bars wrap around your entire body. You are frozen in place.
Oh,
Pip,
good.
It's your turn.
Cool.
Did my cordon of arrows go off?
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
The greatest trick in the book, baby. Oh, God.
Is there commonalities between chilly vampires and up high vampires?
Well, it's so hard to tell these days. You know, it's so hard to tell.
As the summoning circle flared, yes, two of your arrows would have flown at this creature and at the woman. Is there a saving throw? Yes, she will. What's your save? It is. You don't know, do you? Don't bother looking it up.
Yeah, we're doing it as out of courtesy, really.
She passes. The arrow narrowly misses her. The creature, it takes 2 points of damage.
Yes! Yes!
Wow, it takes 2 points of quotation
marks
damage.
Yeah, I figured.
All
right, I would like to... Move up the stairs and flame breath the two of them?
Sure, yeah.
Let's see if she's scared of fire. Process of elimination.
Both her and the creature must make saving throws. Ludmilla will take half of this damage.
Okay.
And the creature will take full. That's cocked, but I'll give you the 8.
Well, you'll allow it.
Ludmilla takes no points of damage.
Oh.
Well, they're
immune. Okay, but are they scared of it? That's what I want.
Well, Ludmilla takes no points of damage, but she issues an involuntary scream.
Yes.
The creature takes 18 points of damage.
Chilly places, motherfucker. All right, good. All right.
Can I talk as a frozen person, or what? Am I just like absolutely frozen in place, or yeah, is it my, you, like, I can't comment
you could,
to that?
You could make one word, basically.
Uh-huh.
All right. Pip, that was your turn, because that's your action, right?
Yeah, I could do it again as a second, because I get two attacks.
As an attack, yes, yes.
I might as well.
Sure. Yeah. All right.
I'll try and kind of get her in a corner. That's what they say, right? You want to corner your enemies?
Yeah. Backed into a corner. Don't have anywhere else
she
to go.
She takes 0 points of damage. It takes 3 points of damage.
Okay. Well,
she continues to scream. Ludmilla turns to look at you, Pip, and you can see there's a mixture of fear and also hatred in her face. Mm-hmm. Her face previously had been haughty and cruel, but now it's, and there was, like, like I said, there was, you can tell, a beauty that was once there. Mm-hmm. No longer.
Cool.
When she turns to look at you,
cool.
It's like a feral animal ready to tear your heart out.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
And it is Goroblushin's turn. Okie dokie. They're doing what they're doing downstairs. You hear screaming.
They're having fun.
Good screaming?
You hear Gorob and Lushin screaming. It sounds like a barbarian rage.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Or an equivalent. Okay, the guards are not doing well. The gargoyles, on the other hand. Okay, Gorob and Lushin are going to fall a long way. Hector!
Oh, no!
Well, there's no windows here, but you hear it. Oh, you hear it. Let go of me! Let go! You hear it from below you, and then it slowly transitions to above you.
What the fuck?
They can fly.
Can they?
Gargoyles can fly.
Oh, gargoyles can fly, yes. I should have given them the scissors.
Hector, it's your turn. You spend your turn doing nothing.
You're right.
And then at the end of your turn, you are still restrained, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Is it a concentration thing, or is it a...
It's a you make a wisdom saving throw at the end of your turn.
Mm.
Yeah, if you have anything for a wisdom saving throw.
I wish I did, Adam.
It's okay, I could have fucked you anyway. And then it is it's the creature's turn, that creature with Ludmilla. It turns to look at you, and Ludmilla screams, "Kill him! Kill him!"
Uh-oh.
The creature pounces on you.
Uh-oh. Just in case.
What is your armor class, Pip? It's 15.
It's not bad. Come on. Come on.
It's only 3 hits.
Okay. I'll ignore damage from one of those attacks using this good boy card.
All right. Let's find out which one you'd like to ignore the most. This one.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That would have been 13 points of damage.
Yep.
Wow, 13 plus this. Instead, you take 6, 10, 17 points of damage.
Fuck.
You take a total of 17 points of damage.
Okay.
All right. Cool beans.
Then the creature screeches into your face.
Huh.
You are covered in spittle and saliva.
Yeah. That is good news.
Okay, it wasn't an attack or anything. It's just yelling.
It's Ludmilla's turn. She reaches into a pocket, and you can see, Pip, that she at first considers lashing out at you, but she can still see little motes of flames from where your breath was, little bits of fire that have been kicked up or laid down on the floor. She, staring at that instead, reaches into a different pocket, and you hear her mutter, "Es das nos." She disappears.
Okay.
And
okay,
Pip, your turn.
I'm just going to plug this guy twice.
All right, close range. You have something for that, right?
Yeah. I'm a crossbow expert. I'm just trying to figure out what... I don't know what this is.
You are fairly confident this is not a creature in Emmanuel.
I've got to try out fucking everything to see what...
Thunk, thunk. You hit it twice. Are these just regular attacks?
Yeah, they're just regular attacks.
Okay. The first attack deals 7. The second attack deals also 7.
Okay.
For a total of 14 points of damage.
Okay.
And then it is Gorob and Lushin's turn.
They're in the sky.
Are they? All right. There's... But... Well, is it better to kill the gargoyle now and fall? Or let the gargoyle...
That's a real thinker. Yeah.
I think Gorob and Lushin are probably thinking that it's better to kill the gargoyle now.
They can tank a tumble.
Here's the problem. They're not over the bridge right now.
Don't do it, Gorob and Lushin. Don't do it.
But they could maybe grab the edge.
Okay.
On the way down. All right.
Surely the wizard one has some spells.
You'd hope.
Yeah, they're fine.
What's Topos doing? Probably fighting the guards downstairs. You gotta get out of your shackles, brother.
Maybe now that she's gone.
Yeah, true.
Now, if I do get out of my shackles, I am out of my shackles, like, do I just straight up try and attack this thing that's attacking you, or do I try and free old mate?
Yeah, it's a tricky conundrum. Do you free the werewolf? Whose alliance or whose allegiances? I mean, I guess they'll hate Strahd at the very least.
That is true. He doesn't have a pact.
Then, oh no, Tarpos.
Tarpos,
your guardian is gone.
Uh-oh. Oh yeah, shit. Uh-oh.
Tarpos must deal with the guards.
Ah, fuck.
All right, that was the guards' turn. It's the gargoyle's turn.
Does Gurman Lushin die this day? Off screen, too. What a fucked up, what a fucking way to go.